Man, take my jacket off and get ready. Okay? I hope and pray that today I've been listening to God, and that you would listen not just to me, but listen to the Holy Spirit. And I would encourage you. And we do this with our young people. We're encouraging them at the moment to bring a pad, bring a pen, make notes. Because God, they make God may just say one thing out of me speaking for 3 hours. Just one thing. God might just put his finger right on you and say, it's you. Just one thing. Sometimes, you know, I can preach, and when I finished, I think to myself, well, that was a load of rubbish. Seriously. And I think, I was all over the place. You feel like you've had a machine gun in your hand and suddenly you pulled the trigger and you didn't realise how much kick this thing had got, and you went, you know, and you think, I didn't hit a thing today. And then you get to the end of the service and people can't start coming and say, that really touched me. And you think, and there's something just specific for them, and somebody else, and you think, wow. And sometimes God does that. Because God says there are so many different needs that have come today that He, God, needs to address the needs. And so the only mouthpiece, as the Word of God says, is the dumb preacher at the front. And so I guess I'll be the dumb preacher at the front today, and you listen to me, and hopefully through listening to the dumb preacher, you'll hear God.
Amen.
Speaking to you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Good. So Father, we just pray right now that as we listen to the dumb preacher, that Lord, we'll hear your voice.
Amen.
And we'll hear you speaking to us. And that Lord, we'll take on board what you are saying to us. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I started looking at Proverbs, and I at the moment can't get away from Proverbs because I think this is important to each and every one of us. You see, you and I can gain knowledge. We can grab hold of our iPads, iPhones, computers, and we can gain knowledge off the internet. We send children to school so that they would gain knowledge. We don't send children to school to gain wisdom.
No.
Knowledge and wisdom are different. Very, very different. So we're going to try and address this and work our way through. I'll give you a clue of somebody who actually has gained some wisdom. The Lord's just given me this one, but I won't really go in this direction. But the Bible says this: the person that wins souls to Jesus is wise. That's wisdom. That's when you've started to gain some wisdom. When you've started to learn to win people to Christ, that's wisdom. That's not knowledge. That's wisdom. That was just a free one I threw in for you now, okay? You can keep that one and use it anytime you want. When you see yourself winning souls for Jesus, you can say, hey, I'm being wise. I've got hold of something and I'm being wise for a change. Not smart. That's different. But be wise. You know, the Bible says be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. You know, so all these little things that sort of come out. Can you turn in your Bibles, please, to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3. This last few days I've suddenly, I don't know why, fallen in love with the Living Bible for some reason. I've had this Bible years. In fact, I was looking at the front of this Bible and it's signed. Oh, by the way, it is mine, it's not somebody else's. You know what I mean? You know, you get people can't borrow your book, and then next thing you know, they've taken it and you never see it again and it's gone. They didn't borrow it, they took it to the thing. And they were bookkeepers, not accountants, keeping track of things. And it says in the front of this, to Andrew, that's me, okay, to Andrew, with Christian love, Mr. and Mrs. Barlow. That was Grace's mother and father, my mother and father-in-law. And they gave me this, so you can see with my silver hair, silver rings that I've had, that I've had this Bible a little bit at a time. So, and I just want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3, and I just want to sort of give a little bit more insight into the writer, first of all, of the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to read from this translation. And it says in verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord and followed all of his father David's instructions, except that he continued to sacrifice in the hills and offer incense there. The most famous hilltop altar was at Gibeon, and now the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. And the Lord appeared to him in a dream that night and told him to ask for anything he wanted and it would be given to him. Now Solomon has just become a young king. And he's following his father David, King David, his footsteps. And he's being obedient to the teachings, to what his father has shown him to do and taught him to do. He's walking in his father's knowledge that his father's given to him. But he's a young man. And guess what? Most of the time, young people do not have much wisdom. Hate to say it. You might know where to get the information on the internet, but that does not give you wisdom. Wisdom does not come by learning, gaining knowledge. Wisdom is a difficult subject to try and explain to somebody, really. But stick around. Maybe we can help each other along the way. And so God appeared, he said, the Lord appeared to him in a dream that night and told him to ask anything he wanted, and God would give it to him. So Solomon replied, you were wonderfully kind to my father David because he was honest and true and faithful to you and obeyed your commandments. And you have continued your kindness to him by giving him a son to succeed him. O Lord, my God, now you have made me king instead of my father David. But I am as a little child who doesn't know his way around. And I am among your own chosen people, a nation so great that they are almost too many to count. And in verse 9 he says, Give me an understanding mind so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. For who by himself is able to carry such heavy responsibility? And verse 10, the Lord said, was pleased with his reply and was glad with Solomon. that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So he replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people and haven't asked for a long life or riches for yourself or the defeat of your enemies, yes, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise mind that anyone else has ever had and will ever have. I will also give you what you don't ask for: riches, honor. And no one in all the world will be as rich and famous as you for the rest of your life. And I will give you a long life if you follow me and obey me and my laws as your father David did." So Solomon woke up and realized that it had been a dream, and he returned to Jerusalem and went and into the tabernacle. And as he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, he sanctified burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Solomon had a great task to lead a great nation, to lead the people of God, to lead them in the right way, to lead them into the presence of God, and to lead them as an example to nations all around. He realized the challenge that was set before him was great. He also realized that he didn't have the ability, he didn't have that wisdom to lead these people. And so the one thing that he asked for most of all was that he wanted to do what was right. He wanted to be right. He realized his responsibility that he had towards that nation, towards those people. And in his realization of all of that, it was, "I need some wisdom. I need to gain supernatural understanding." Yeah. That's what wisdom is.
Amen.
Supernatural understanding. Be wise, being knowing more than what your age is able to tell you. Be wise in certain things that you wonder at times, well, where did that come from? It came from God. It came from God. Jesus was full of wisdom. Why was he full of wisdom? Oh, many people say, well, he was the Son of God, so he would be, wouldn't he? No. Because he was a man. He gave up that right when he came to earth. But as the Son of Man, he set the example and connected with God, his Father. As you and I can connect with God, our Father. And the wisdom of God was then imparted to him. And it says that the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple were mystified by this 12-year-old boy that took the Word of God and opened the Word of God up at 12 years old. Come on. You can do this. You can do this, young people. You can prophesy beyond the ages. You can prophesy beyond your own years. Oh, they can't. They can't. I've seen it done. Seen it happen. Make yourself available. Offer yourself to God and say, "God, use me, Lord, for your glory. Use me, Lord, to extend your kingdom. Lord, I'm surrendering everything that I have and I'm giving it to you." And as we surrender ourselves to God, and we sing at times, we sing, "Here I am, wholly available. Ask for me. I will serve the Lord." And we come with ourself as a vessel, and we come as an empty container, and we say, Lord, fill it with some wisdom. I need some wisdom in this circumstance. I need wisdom in this understanding, because knowledge is not going to work. Knowledge is not going to fix this problem. It's wisdom. I remember reading a story, I don't know if it was a biography or autobiography, of a man named Otis. Ever heard of Otis? Ever ridden in a lift? Anybody ever ridden in a lift? Hey? Gone up and down in a lift, yeah? Well, some of these lifts, in fact, at one time, many of the lifts were manufactured by this company called Otis. Anybody ever remember seeing that? Yeah? They're there, they're out there somewhere. Well, he was a multi-millionaire, and he had a massive manufacturing company. And one of his projects was that they were building a power station somewhere in the USA, because he's from the USA, and they were building this power station, and they had a time contract on it. And if they went beyond the time, they had to pay a penalty for every day. In other words, if they didn't hit the deadline, they had to pay back some money. Not a good idea. Very expensive. And they were head of schedule with this power station. And every time they tried to test it and throw it online, something blew up. Something failed. And the engineers had gone through it and through it and through it and through it and could not find what the problem was. And they were getting close to the deadline. And if I remember rightly, he got on a plane. He said, I've got to find out. I've got to get there and try and help. You know, it's going to cost us a lot of money. It's going to could damage the company and the reputation that we have. And so on the plane, he started to pray and ask the Lord for some wisdom and some guidance. And God showed him the blueprint of the electronics and everything. And God's finger came down and said, here's your problem. So when he got to the power plant, he walked in and said, get the drawings out. He got the drawings out and he said, here's the problem. Sort this here. The engineers looked at him and thought, he's just walked in. Who does he think he is? These engineers were more knowledgeable than him. But he'd had the wisdom to ask God. And God knows everything that's going on. Right now, he even knows what you're thinking. And being a woman, that is quite amazing, you know. But God is amazing. But God knows. The Bible says he knows your very thoughts and intents. Even before you actually do it, God knows what you're thinking now. I don't. Oh, he does. Oh, he does. I'm telling you the truth. I don't lie. God knows exactly what you're thinking. In fact, God even knows what your plans are for tomorrow. And he even knows if they're going to change as well, because of his intervention. Anyway, back to the story. The engineers go to this part of the power plant. They change this small circuit board, I believe it was, put a new one in. Went to switch the system on. Guess what? It worked.
Amen.
Everything came online.
Yeah.
Everything worked.
Amen.
This man wrote this book so he could give glory to God. You can have knowledge, but we need wisdom. We need wisdom. We have knowledge, but we need wisdom how to apply the knowledge that is given to us. You can't just simply use knowledge ad lib. You need the wisdom of God to bring you further into a deeper relationship with God. And so young Solomon here, he's asking God, Lord, I need you to show me something. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Some Bibles at the back there. Just it's always good to have a Bible. I was saying the other night to our young people, you know, my Bible gets marked up, gets scribbles in it and everything like that, and just so that it speaks to me quickly at times, and I think, yeah, God said this to me. So, praise God. And if you don't know where Proverbs is in the Bible, in the front of the Bible there's a thing called an index, and don't be afraid or ashamed to use it. Alright? Use it. Use the tools what's been given to you. That's wisdom. You don't have the knowledge, but you know, I've given you a little bit of wisdom, use the front of the book. And in the front of the book there is that index. Turn to use it to find what page number it's on. Saves time. You get there quicker. Proverbs chapter 1. It's on the screen as well, but you know, it's good to have a Bible. Yeah. I encourage people to use a Bible. Have a Bible. You know, we all have the Bible on these tablets, don't we, at times, and on our iPhones. No, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. You see, it's not a scary thing, but I know when you've never had a Bible and you've never used a Bible, it's like, ooh, what's these chapters? What's these columns? What's these verses? What's it all about? Well, the only way you're going to find out is come to church, sit down and listen and talk to us, and we'll talk to you, and we will teach you the ways of the Lord. And you'll gain wisdom. Not just knowledge, you gain wisdom, because the Bible is wisdom. The Bible is a puzzle solver. I mean, you got that one wrong, didn't you? The Bible is a puzzle solver. What's the problem? Jesus is the answer. Joanne, whatever the problem is, Jesus is the answer. You're looking good, girl. You're looking good. Praise God. Great to see you. We've been praying for you. Church has been praying. We believe in God. This is the beginning. Amen. Moving on. Praise His wonderful name. Into victory. Victory on victory. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 7 will start up. Again, I'm reading from the Amplified, that's from the Living Bible, so it'll be slightly different to what you've got, but at least you can see it and you can follow it, and you'll get two interpretations or translations of it. And he starts off in this world, he says, and this is King Solomon. He's written this having gained much wisdom from God over the years, and he begins to write it down because he says, this is going to help you. This is going to help you. And he writes and says, how does a man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord God. Wow. That's the first step. Well, that was easy, weren't it? All you have to do, the first step to gain wisdom is to trust and reverence the Lord God. What does that mean? That means you're going to give your life to Jesus. And really mean it. Not just stick your hand up, say, that's it, I've done it. Fill a form in and say, you know, I've got some bookmarks in this Bible, so you can probably see the last time I used it, which was around about 19... 1988, 1990, in one sense. These bookmarks are from Billy Graham. Bless him, he's still alive at 93 years old. One of the greatest men that came to Sheffield United football ground and filled the ground 10 nights in a row. Had to have an overflow, and it was relayed on TV channels right through to other football grounds up and down the country. And this man preached the gospel, and people would come out at the end and would give their lives to Jesus Christ. A simple gospel message. But this man was very wise. He glorified Jesus and not Billy Graham. He exalted the Lord Jesus and not Billy Graham. One of the greatest, simplest ministers. And thousands of people would come and walk onto the football pitch and give their lives to Christ. I stood there and saw it 10 nights. I watched it every night, was helping out, being there, and I've still got bookmarks that remind me of that great occasion. It was a privilege to be there and see people giving their lives to Christ, and still know that today there are people who in a Billy Graham crusade are going on with Jesus. They didn't just get saved, they became wise. And they followed God. And I trust and believe that they went on to win souls. Because as I said, he that winneth souls is wise. And he said, it's not easy. I didn't say it was easy, but I said, be wise. And simply live that life to the glory of God. So we have to reverence God. We have to trust God. What does reverence mean? In some of these translations it says, fear God. God does not want you to be afraid of him. That was never, ever God's intention. How do I know that? I find that quite simple, that when God created all the world and everything that's in it, and he created Adam and Eve, it says at the cool of the evening, God would come down and he would sit and talk to Eve and ask her, how's things going? What's been happening? And he would spend time with Adam and Eve. Was that fearful? No, I'm glad. And God would come every day. That should tell us something else. That every day we should talk to God.
Amen.
Oh, by the way, when you finish talking to God, every day we need to listen to God. One mouth, two ears. Okay? So you should get twice as much as what you said. Hello? Listen. How do you gain wisdom? Often you can gain wisdom by listening. Listen to what God has got to say. So when he says reverence or fear the Lord, it doesn't mean be afraid of him, but be struck in the of his awesomeness and his greatness. There aren't words to describe God. The Jewish people, how did they describe God? They said he's like breath. In God is life. Joanne has been in hospital this last few days, and just before Christmas we went to see her. And when we went to see her, she was absolutely struggling to breathe. And she was being assisted in her breathing, but she was struggling. And at the same time, because she was struggling, the very life is in breath. She felt like she was dying. Is that true? And it brought panic. You could see it in her. When you can't breathe, you panic. Because, let's be honest, nobody's volunteering to die. Are we? No. And yet, none of us sit there and think, I must believe or I will die. Do you? Do you? You don't think about breathing, do you? You don't get up in the morning, wake up and think, oh, I must breathe and just make sure I'm alive, do you? You just do it automatically. Have you ever tried to hold your breath? I don't know how James Bond does it so long underneath the water. You know, I find it amazing. Have you ever sat there on these films when you see them and they're all swimming underwater, and you sit there and you go, and they're exercising, and all these things, you go, and they're still going. You know, you're thinking, how on earth do they do it? Well, they don't really. It's just Hollywood, but you know. But do you get the point? You see, there is no way that you can really stop yourself from breathing. Do you know why? Because in you, God placed life. There's life in you. There's life in you. Are you glad? Blow in. God has placed life in us. And God wants to place wisdom in you. And wisdom is not up here. It's inside. You see, you can't go to university and do a course on wisdom. Can you? Or have they decided you can? You can't even do a course on common sense, shall we say. Possibly slightly another word for a bit of wisdom. Because if you could, we'd send you all on it. Because it would save us a lot of problems, wouldn't it, really? You know, a bit of common sense. You know, let's have a lecture on common sense. Oh, Lord Jesus. How are we going to do that? Yeah. You know, I know for a full fact that you see people say, they haven't got an ounce of common sense. You know? Yeah. We know, it's okay. That's why, you see, that's why you're where you are now. But you see, wisdom will come in God as we listen to the Word of God. And that wisdom will change your thinking. It will change your direction. You see, wisdom will point you in the right direction to Christ. Wisdom will guide you in truth through the Word of God. You see, many people can actually know the Word of God, they can read the Word of God, but unless the Spirit of God speaks to you and enlightens you and gives you the wisdom of it, it is just as somebody many years ago simply said, it's just words. Just words. And to many people today, the Bible is just words. To me, the Bible is God, the Father, God, the Son, yes, and God, the Holy Spirit. You've got it. I'm glad you're with me. Glad you're with me. And you see, when we begin to partake of this Bible, and we begin to read this Bible, we're partaking of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And each are imparting their wisdom to us. And Solomon said, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. He knew where to ask for wisdom. He had many aged counselors around him that would have had their own wisdom. But Solomon said, give me wisdom so that I can make the right decisions to lead this nation. That I can make even the right decisions for myself. And we need wisdom to make the right decisions for ourselves. Sometimes I can be accused of being a rash decision maker. And to others it may seem like that. But let me tell you this, I'm not a rash decision maker. I would say at certain times I just feel I have that ability to just simply calculate the situation and make the decision, but that would be bragging on myself. I think as I listen to my own words today, the message that I'm speaking, I think at times it has been a case that God just simply says, look, let's shortcut it, let's save some time, I'll give you the answer. And sometimes I get the answer, but I don't understand the formula, but I got the answer. Ever been like that at school? You know, you can get the answer and the school teacher said to you, well, how did you do it? I don't know, I just know. Yeah? Been there? Show me your workings out. I can't. Well, how did you do it? I don't know, but I just know it. Have you ever done that? Yeah? There's no answer to it, is there? It was something that happened. And sometimes God just brings the answer to you and it's like, wow, where did that come from? God. Huh? Go on. Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, you ask your God, and you at times, and hey, I've been there. You get the answers you don't want to hear. Excuse me. Is there anybody else up there who has a different answer? Because that is not the one that I am looking for. Yes? Yeah? I've done it. Now, God, what about this? I've done it. I walked around a mountain on it. Not physically, but, you know, spiritually. You know. And God sort of just stood there and said, I'll meet you back here when you've finished having a walk around. And it's like, and by the way, I don't care how long it's going to take, I'll still be here. Because this is the starting point. Yeah. Okay? Not the end. And I'll be honest with you, many years ago, God told me I had to do something, and I did not want to do it. So I told God straight. I did not mince any words. I told God straight, there's no way that's going to happen. And if he thought that was going to happen, he's wrong. I am not doing it. This is not the way I am going. So I rebelled. And for 12 months, I rebelled on what God wanted me to do. And I walked around this mountain. I tell you what, I walked on my own. It was the loneliest walk I'd ever been on. It was the most frustrating walk that I had ever walked. It was the most miserable of walks that I had ever walked. And during that period of 12 months, God never spoke to me again. He left me and said, well, he didn't leave me, I left him. And I set off on my journey, you know, going in the wrong direction, doing my own thing. Of course, you know, the Bible says that in Proverbs, at the end of Proverbs, it likens wisdom to a woman. Sorry, guys, but that's the way it happens to be, you know, but hey. And Grace occasionally would say, Andrew. And then she would spout off what I needed to do. Well, guess what? Don't tell me what to do, you know. And I would, you know, take no notice whatsoever. And in the end, God said to her, Grace, shut up. Leave him to me. She's helping him. God does not need your help, okay? You need God's help, right? And there are times when I'd hear a phrase. You know, I knew what she was praying about, you know. I speak in the other room, you know. It's, look, I'm being totally honest with you. I'm real, you know. And I would chunter in the other room and I'm trying on. The one thing I don't do is I don't argue with Grace, okay? I don't, it's not worth it. Peace is important. You know, God is a prince. God says he's a God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You need to maintain peace. But you see, I had enough turmoil and going on in my life without creating any more. You know, just me and God were in a war. You know, there was no peace between God and me. That's why I wasn't going to talk to him. Because he wanted me to do something that I did not want to do. So finally, 12 months later, amazing how God sort of works at times. I walked in the church that we were in, decided to sit on the back of the left hand side, and a friend of mine, his Bible was on a chair. I looked and saw it was his Bible, and the church was fairly full that day, and I thought, I'm not going down the front, you know, because me and God aren't on talking terms anyway, so I'm keeping the distance. If you can keep the distance from God by sitting at the back of the church, you know, that's how stupid we can get. How dumb can you be? Jesus, I'll sit at the back, God won't get to me, or the preacher won't get to me in any way, and if I need to escape, and I can escape. But God knows where you are. He already knows where you're headed. In fact, he's already there. Oh man, there is no escape. Okay, so I sat at the back of the church and saw this Bible. I thought there were only two seats together, so I grabbed hold of his Bible, I picked it up, and I slapped it down on another chair, and as I did that, he had a daily note, and it was open at that day. And right across the title of the day, it said this: "It is now time for me to depart." Well, what had happened? God had told me 12 months earlier, it was now time for Grace and I to leave the church that we'd been in for 19 years, and the youth work and everything that we were doing, and I was employed by the church, and the church was my life, everything I did, everything I breathed was church. And God had said to me, it's time to leave. And I said, there's no way. There's so much potential there, God. And he said, it's time to leave. You are to ready now to leave. And I'm arguing with God, saying, no, 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 no. And I walked away and said, no. Nope. Conversation over, finished. I'm not doing it. You're right. That's what I said. I'm not doing it. Because I said, I know I can make it work. And God said, well, get on with it then. So off I went. 12 months wandering in a wilderness. And I come back, and I was still going to church, but I was just making sure that I was listening to God. I know it's fine to sit down there. Then suddenly, I moved that Bible, and there's this title: "It is now time for me to depart." Well, I shook it, slammed it on the seat, and thought, forget it. Now, I'm still walking the mountain road, wandering around the desert area. We had a visiting preacher that morning, and the subject he took was Peter getting out of the boat. So, God, don't you ever give up. God is persistent. Because God has your best interest deep down at heart. You know, I could be a bit like that at times. I can be persistent, can't I? Even when you push me away, I'll still be an irritant to you. Because God says be an irritant to them, because he loves you and he wants to stir you up. He wants to bring you through. And this preacher preaching on, it's now time for me to depart. And I just sat there. And I said, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Where I was going, I had no idea. What I was going to do, I had no idea. But I said, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I said, but, oh, and then I said to him, so, when do you want me to leave? And he actually gave me a date, and it was 6 weeks later. So within 6 weeks, we were to leave and move on, not knowing where we were going, not knowing exactly what we were going to do. I'm living in a safety net. I'm living in an environment where everything's great. Everything, all my life revolves around the church and its church activity. And suddenly God says, out. And there I am, right out in the middle of nowhere, not knowing whether I'm going north, south, east or west. So I said to the Lord, when he said that to me, I said, well, you better tell Grace. So I waited a little while, and then I leaned across to her and I said to her, and this is how it happened, I said to her, we're leaving at the end of October. And she said, I know. I said, when the guy's finished preaching this morning, I said, you and I are going to get out, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to dedicate again afresh our lives to God. I said, Lord, wherever you take us, we will follow. Wherever you lead us, we will go. And we did. And one of the leaders came to us to pray with him and said, and I said to him, are we leaving? He said, we'll talk about it. I said, no, we're leaving. God has spoken. You can't talk about something when God has spoken. You don't discuss it with God. Right? I'd argued with him. He'd stated his case. And he let me see for 12 months what it was to live like without his very presence, without his very wisdom in my life. It was torturous. It was painful. But the day I said, yes, Lord, life changed. Oh, I had some things to work through. But I tell you what, I'm here today because I said, yes, Lord. I'm here today because I put down my knowledge and I listened to the wisdom of God and I followed Him, and we're still following Him. Knowledge would say, stay where you are, it'll all work out. But God knew what was going to happen in the next few months in the church. I would have exploded. God said, it's time to leave. And I followed Him. And because of that, I'm here today. Because of that, some of you people are here today. Because Grace and I obeyed the Lord. And there are many others who we've been able to point and lead to Jesus because we listened to God. And if we had not done as He said, I don't know where we would be, and I don't know where some of these people might be. But we listened to God because God has a plan and a purpose for you, and you and I have to listen to God and to reverence God, and the reverence of God and the fear of God in our lives will take us on a journey. And I'll tell you what, it's an exciting journey. I'll tell you what, it's a precious journey. I'll tell you what, it's an awe-inspiring journey. You know, when I left industry and went to work in the kingdom of God full time, people said to me, he said, well, that's all your holidays abroad over and done with, all your travelling that you used to do, because I lived to travel, I went to work to travel. You know, I worked hard, got plenty, paid plenty, and spent it. I looked to travel. And I thought at first, well, maybe you're right. And these were men of faith. These were preachers, men of faith, who tell me, that's it, it's over. We've never traveled so many miles. In the first 3 or 4 years, we were backwards and forwards to the USA. We flew on airplanes free of charge. And it's like, whoa, what is happening? God was at work. God had given us a promise. And listen, when you stand on the promises of God, when you place your hand in the hand of God, when you grab hold of God and let His wisdom come into your life, He's no debtor. He will always provide for you. Grace and I were sharing with somebody just the other day, I can't even remember who it was now, how God has paid every bill over the years. And if we were to take a calculator and sit down and work it out, we're in the red. How we paid the mortgage, I had no idea. On what we were being, I wasn't earning. How we manage, I have no idea. But what I do know is, God gave Grace and I a promise. And He said, I will keep you in that that you are accustomed to, and even greater. By knowledge, it could not be done. But by the wisdom of God, it was done. Knowledge, I cannot explain it to you. All I can say is, when you trust God, when you take hold of God and allow God to direct you and to lead you and take you sometimes down pathways and directions that, do not make sense. God comes. When you obey, He's always there. Yeah, sometimes He'll take you through or down a difficult pathway, but He's taking you down there because He's going to make you strong. He's going to make you ready for the battle. He's going to cause you to be victorious so that nothing will overcome you. You see? Knowledge will not help you. Wisdom will. There are very knowledgeable people in the world today who are drug addicts and alcoholics, but we don't know about them in one sense. They're heavy drinkers. They have to resort to drink. And they're well educated. They resort to drugs because they're bored, because their knowledge does not satisfy. You can have as much knowledge, you can go to university and come out the other end fully qualified, cap and gown and everything else, and be a first class honor student, but it does not satisfy. But the knowledge and the wisdom of God is what satisfies. And Solomon was the king of the greatest nation, and those of us that know our Bible, Solomon became the richest king. He became the most famous king. People would come to him with their problems, and Solomon would just, well, as we would say today, the drop of a hat would sort it. Two women, and I'll finish with this, came to Solomon. Both have children. And one of the women, during the night, rolled over on the baby and slept on it and smothered it to death. And so she quickly changed the baby over and said, this is my child and the other one's yours. And there was a dispute, so they took it to the court of Solomon. And there was this argument over this small child. And Solomon listened to the arguments of whose child it was. And then wisdom came. And Solomon said, I've got the answer to the problem. He said to his guard of honor, give me your sword. Just picture this. He said, hold the baby out. He said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll cut it in half and give one half to one mother and one half to the other mother. And that's the problem solved, isn't it? And the lady who had crushed her and smothered her child to death said, yeah, that's a good idea. And the other one said, no, no, give her the child. And Solomon said, the child belongs to the mother. He's prepared to let it live and give it away. Wisdom. Wisdom. Simple things. Powerful decisions. You need wisdom. We all need wisdom in the decisions that you and I make in the future. You don't need knowledge. Today, pray for our government. They need wisdom. Amen. In how we perform the next part of this nation's journey. And they need God's wisdom. Whether you agree with the decision or not, it's too late now. We need God's wisdom, and God is on the throne. And God intends to bring this nation back to a purpose and place where it is effective with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This nation has been great because it carried the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your nation is there because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are friends. Dilip and his family and all these others from other nations are here because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this nation, for many years, had a massive empire. It was said that the sun never set on the empire. From east to west, we covered the world. God intended it. For one reason, that the message of the Lord Jesus Christ would be carried across throughout all the world, and that all the world would hear that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and He is the Savior of the world and of all humanity. And for the nations to survive and to live in peace, they needed Christ in their lives. And our nation was made great for that, and that reason alone. Yeah, we did some foolish things along the way, but that's part of humanity, that's part of mankind. Let's not say we were foolish because we took the message. We did what God told us to do. And men and women gave their lives. Men and women gave up careers and gave their lives to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. To see nations being won to God. Men went to China, and we see China today, a massive growing church in China. God is at work. God is moving by His Spirit. And God wants to move through each and every one of us in the same way. God wants to use you. He'll use you in Poland because you can speak Polish, and He can use you to share the gospel of Jesus, to share the truth. It's not about a religion. It is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Solomon wanted a relationship with God so that he would have wisdom. You see, when you go to university, you gain knowledge from your professors and all these other people. And when it's all done, you walk away and you probably forget about them and never ever see them again. Wisdom is constant. Wisdom is about a continual relationship with God. Continual relationship. And wisdom will continue to flow and flow. God, what do I do in this situation? God says, I've got the answer. Isaiah 55, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. My thoughts. My wisdom's higher than yours. Come on. Stay in that relationship. Fix your heart and your mind on Him. Whatever the trouble is, whatever the problem is, the answer is in Jesus. It's not in drugs. It's not in alcohol. It's not in fast cars. It's not in nice houses. It's not in good jobs. It's in Jesus. It's in the Word of God. And whatever your problem is, whatever challenge you're facing today, it's not in the social services. It's in Jesus. It's in the Word of God. That's all I've got to offer you. The only thing I can offer you today is Jesus. The only thing I offer you today is a relationship with God the Father, the Creator. That's all I can offer you. Do you know something? That is all you will ever need. But everything comes from God. Everything exists because of God the Father. And if you've not given your life, and if you need to rededicate your life to Christ, then do it. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. If you've not given your life to Christ, then I want to give you the opportunity to raise your hand and say, I want Christ to be my Lord and my Saviour. I want Him to come in, and I want to have that relationship with Him. If you've never done that, then just raise your hand right now and say, I want Jesus right now. Raise your hand for Christ. If you've done this before and you've, well, a little bit like me, took off and gone around the mountain tracks on your own and realised it and said, I need to rededicate. I think when I mean rededicate, it's probably a good term, is I need to reconnect. I need to reconnect with God. I need to restore this broken connection. And the thing is, I broke my connection with God. God did not break His connection with me. I broke it. So you need to restore it. You need to make that step and say, Lord, I need to reconnect with You. And if there's anybody here today that says, that knows that they've broken the connection with God, and they need to reconnect and want to do it today, just raise your hand and say, yes, I want to reconnect. Don't bother about anybody else, because nobody else is going to be on your line. It's not a party line. This is a direct line. Lord, I want to connect. I want to stay connected with You. Lord, I've grown cold in my relationship. I want a fresh connection, thank You. I want to connect with You, because, Lord, I know that my future is in my connection to God the Father. And I'm going to have that connection restored and strengthened. Amen? Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, for Your word to us. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, for the response, for the reconnection. Greater connection, a greater strength and relationship with You, Father. And I pray that as we believe in the Lord, You respond to that. Lord, that it will improve and grow to such a level that, Lord, this person will fulfill the plans and purposes that You have for them and will know such great fulfillment in their lives. Father, we know at times we feel we've failed You and we feel see disappointments, but Lord, sometimes we're just feeling the heart of You as You're saddened by circumstances in people's lives, in their choices. As You weep over the nations. And Father, we pray that You would use us, O God, to wipe away the tears through Jesus Christ and see nations restored to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. You know, when